वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। बाह्यस्पर्शेष्वसक्तात्मा विन्दत्यात्मनि यत्सुखम् विन्दत्यात्मनि यत्सुखम् सब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सुखमक्षयमश्नुते सुखमक्षयमश्नुते बाह्यस्पर्शेष्वसक्तात्मा विन्दत्यात्मनि यत्सुखम् सब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सुखमक्षयमश्नुते ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगाः ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगाः दुःखयोनय एव ते दुःखयोनय एव ते आद्यन्तवन्तकौन्तेय आद्यन्तवन्तकौन्तेय नतेषु रमते बुधः नतेषु रमते बुधः ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगाः दुःखयोनय एव ते आद्यन्तवन्तकौन्तेय नतेषु रमते बुधः शक्नोतिहैव यः सोढुम् शक्नोतिहैव यः सोढुम् प्राक्शरीरविमोक्षणात् कामक्रोधोद्भवं वेगम् कामक्रोधोद्भवं वेगम् सयुक्तः स सुखेन रः सयुक्तः स सुखेन रः शक्नोतिहैव यः सोढुम् प्राक्शरीरविमोक्षणात् कामक्रोधोद्भवं वेगम् सयुक्तः स सुखी नरः योक्तः सुखोत्तरा रामः योक्तः सुखोत्तरा रामः ततान्तज्योतिरेव यः ततान्तज्योतिरेव यः स योगी ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् स योगी ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् ब्रह्मभूतोऽधिगच्छति योक्तः सुखोत्तरा रामः ततान्तज्योतिरेव यः स योगी ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् ब्रह्मभूतोऽधिगच्छति लभन्ते ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् लभन्ते ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् ऋषयक्षीणकल्मषाः ऋषयक्षीणकल्मषाः छिन्नद्वैतायतात्मानः छिन्नद्वैतायतात्मानः सर्वभूतहिते रताः सर्वभूतहिते रताः लभन्ते ब्रह्मनिर्वाणम् ऋषयक्षीणकल्मषाः छिन्नद्वैतायतात्मानः सर्वभूतहिते रताः divinity. fact, in our Vedas, the view given is that nobody is a sinner. Everyone is divine. Each one's individual, original nature is divinity. Individual also means indivisible. You are the same consciousness. You are not what you appear to be, what you believe yourself to be, the body, the mind, the intellect, etc. The view that a jnani has is that he is not the body, not the mind, not the intellect, but the consciousness. And not only his original nature is consciousness, it is the same consciousness that pervades the entire universe. Therefore, he views everyone also as consciousness. For him, this is nothing but one homogeneous mass of consciousness expressed itself in a variety shape. He does not identify with the variety. From the practical point of view, he sees the variety. But from the realistic inner point of view, he does not identify with the variety. He always identifies only with the divinity. So that is the test of development. As long as your identification is with your body, and you believe yourself to be the body, then you look at other people also as body. And when you look at other people as bodies, then other people become a product for your enjoyment. Not beings for expression of your love. Remember this. This is what happens. How do we say that once you start going deeper and start identifying with Brahman, your relationships start getting better. When you look at yourself as body, you are obviously going to look at other people also as body. So then, for satisfaction of your bodily requirements and enjoyments, the other bodies become products. If you identify with the mind, same thing happens. Other people, you start looking at them as mind or intellect. But when you start identifying yourself from the level of consciousness, when you start seeing other people also as consciousness, then your relationship starts getting better. So either the wise views equally, a brahmana who is endowed with knowledge and humility, and a swapaka who lacks this knowledge. Similarly, a cow, an elephant, and also a dog. Everything in this universe he views equally. Then he said, even here birth is overcome by those whose mind rests in evenness. A person who has reached the tamatva bhav, for him, he, even here in this world, birth is overcome. See, generally ignorant people, the whole world struggles, fights with death. Wise man has no problem with death, because he knows that which is born will have to die. So his problem is not death, his problem is birth. Remember this. As much as we remain in ignorance, we fight with death. We want to overcome death. We try overcoming death by amassing wealth in many, many ways, by collecting people around, etc., believing that they'll help us to stay long. Equal amount of, there is so much of money spent throughout the world to try and see if we can continue to live in this world, prolong our stay here. And if everybody continues to stay here, then this earth will not be enough. So equally, there is research going on to find if people can be transported to Mars. You understand? So, he says, even here birth is overcome. Birth is overcome means what? What is the cause for birth? Desire, vasana. That is overcome by him. He has no impressions. Overcome by those whose mind rests in evenness. Brahman indeed is spotless and equal. Spotless means there are no dirt in their personality. They are established in Brahman. With steady intellect, knowledge established in Brahman, the undiluted knower of Brahman neither rejoices on obtaining what is pleasant, nor grieves on obtaining what is unpleasant. These are all tests of development. These are all the benefits that one gets from reaching the original nature, Brahman, Atman. So he says he remains unperturbed on obtaining what is pleasant or unpleasant. That is the state of Brahman. With the intellect established in Brahman, the undiluted knower of Brahman, Tira Buddhi Asam Mudaha Brahma with Brahmanistita. Very interesting choice of words he says. With steady intellect, na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no prijet prapya cha priyam, tira buddhihi, tira buddhihi, with steady intellect, with steady knowledge. Asam mudaha means, who's overcome delusion, who does not have any delusion, the undeluded, knower of Brahman, Brahma with, means one who knows Brahman, knowing Brahman not intellectually, knowing Brahman in essence. Brahmanistita, he stays in Brahman, gets established in Brahman through Shravana. You become Brahmavid through Manana. What happens to you? You become Asam Mura. Then through Nididhyasana, meditation, you become established in Brahmani Siddhaha. Through Shravana, through learning, through reading, through reflecting, or rather through self-inquiry, you get yourself acquainted with Brahman knowledge, Brahmavid. Then you get through reflection, through manana, you get rid of delusion. What is the delusion? See, the senses are sending the stimuli from the world into you. When the stimuli goes into you, what happens? Simply when the stimuli goes in, nothing happens. Along with that, something happens, that is, vasana from within rushes towards the sense perception. Once they both meet, then the delusion starts. Are you with me? The stimuli in the form of color and form enters your eyes. In the form of sound enters your ears. In the form of touch enters your skin. In the form of taste enters your tongue. Or in the form of what is the fifth one that we have left? Eyes, ears, nose. In the form of smell, it enters your nose. The stimuli enter through your senses. You can do nothing about it. Right? The stimuli will enter. When your eyes are open, the stimuli will enter. Just because the stimuli has entered, you don't become deluded. What happens? Next thing is, from inside the vasana rushes towards the stimuli. And they both meet. When they both meet, what happens? You get deluded. So undeluded means what you have to do? You can't live in this world keeping all your five senses closed. The moment you are awake, means your senses are awake, the stimuli is bound to enter you. So what you have to do? You have to be alert and awake. You have to be aware of your vasanas rushing towards the... Like a soldier guarding, you must be protecting yourself from the vasanas coming to meet the stimuli. Then you can prevent yourself from getting deluded. Delusion does not happen simply because the stimuli has entered. A lot of people think by stopping the stimuli entering, they become free from delusion. What are you going to do about the vasanas within? You in fact start getting frustrated. This is not spirituality. So you make sure that unnecessary stimuli don't enter through your senses. There also with your steady intellect you protect. Only the chosen stimuli enters. Why unnecessarily allow everything to enter? So you filter there also. is allowing the similitude, then you are guarding yourself from allowing the vasanas to mix with the stimuli and propitiating it. So with steady intellect established in Brahman, the undeluded knower of Brahman neither rejoices on obtaining what is pleasant, nor grieves on obtaining what is unpleasant. Whether you are a jnani or an ignorant, you will be in this world given situations which are pleasant, situations which are unpleasant. Because everybody's world is governed by three factors, that are Desha, Kala and Prarabdha. Place, time and destiny, Prarabdha. Many things are not under your control. Right? So you will be given situations which are unpleasant. Like today, unpleasant weather. Not only it is cold, it is also raining. And because of that, traffic jam. Right? Now, you can do nothing about it. Can you do anything about it? Is it under your choice? Prarabdha means you have no choice. You are choiceless. When you are choiceless, what do you have to do?
Accept.
Accept what? Accept the fact that you can't change it. So then what you can do, what is within your control? Your attitude towards what is happening. What do you mean? So the moment you change your attitude towards what is happening, you have not asked for changing what is happening. Yet, you are able to face what is happening. So you find Mahatmas also going through unpleasant situations. For example, bodily diseases. It is said about Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Ramana Maharshi and many more people that they have to go through physical diseases. Tuberculosis, cancer, etc. Right? This is something which is unavoidable. As per our Prarabdha, we have no clue. Absolutely have no clue about what all we have done. The cause has been shown. We have to reap the effect. So Prarabdha will be the same. Unpleasant and pleasant. Simply because you have become a jnani doesn't mean everything good only will be happening to you.
What's the other word for
prarabdha? Destiny in English. Prarabdha is Sanskrit. Destiny means what happens to you. That is as per your thoughts, as per your karma, which you have to face. You don't know. What you have shown, you have no idea. What you did yesterday, you don't know. What you did in your previous janma, absolutely no idea. From till today, backwards, you have no idea. So the repercussions are bound to happen. Right? Tomorrow, the weather may continue like this. Or it may be something else. We have no idea. So what is possible to be changed, change it. What is not possible to be changed, develop the attitude to accept it and face it cheerfully. So he says, a jnani faces unpleasant situations equally with same calmness. Neither rejoices on obtaining what is pleasant, nor grieves on obtaining what is. Then he says, unattached to the external contact, one finds happiness that is in the self. So to find the happiness that is in the self, you need to become unattached to the external contact. The external contact, unattached means your attachment will give you raga and dvesha. If you are attached to sukha, you will develop raga. If you are attached to dukkha, you develop dvesha. Unattached to external contacts, one finds happiness that is in the self. Now, we do not know any other happiness other than the happiness brought by the contact with the senses. So what happens is we are prejudiced. We have bias that certain things in the world outside brings us happiness. Certain things in the world outside brings us shoka. So what do? We try to contact
crave and contact more the object that gives us or we believe that gives us sukha. And we try to avoid objects that gives us dukkha. So you should not have any prejudice when you live in the world. See, that is why I keep on emphasizing in karma yoga, in the life of a grahastha, you should not have any bias. First of all, what Vedanta says is simple, your happiness is within you. The happiness is what everybody is searching for. The happiness that everybody is searching for from the time they wake up till the time go to bed is within you, is not in the external world. Right? But today your mind is preoccupied with the external world. It is having some belief that it is outside, it's in the outside world. So what you have to do? You now don't have to blindly listen to what the scriptures say, that there is no happiness outside. Or blindly listen to your elders. They all will tell you out of their own experience, Aray Baba, there is no happiness outside. But yet, as youngster, whose senses are all working fine, they are not depleted yet. Are you with me? You may think old people are saying so because their senses all have become depleted. And it might be true that few old people might be saying so because they have lost the capacity to enjoy. If God gives them, grants them capacity to enjoy the senses again, whether they will continue to hold such philosophy, we don't know. Are you with me? So it's okay. Even assuming that they are talking such, or maybe out of their wisdom, whatever it might be, you don't buy that. What you have to do? Without any bias, contact them. Don't have the bias that there is enjoyment in the world. Don't have the bias that there is no enjoyment in the world. Are you with me? Mindfully, watchfully contact. When you mindfully, watchfully contact, then you understand the real joy or no joy that you will get from the contact with the world. This we don't do. It is. See, the point is, stimuli comes. Stimuli comes and we rush. Few seconds, maybe I am there. See, psychologists and physiologists have understood over a period of time that in our body also there are certain things which are under our control. There are certain things which are functioning without our control. Say for example, blood flow, breathing, blood circulation. Are you doing it or is it happening on its own? That was a time when they believed that human being or for the matter empty being is filled with blood. They didn't know that the blood is circulating. Then they came to know that the blood is circulating. Now this blood circulation, is it under your control? They are not under your control. Blood circulation is not under your control. But yoga says you can bring blood circulation also under your control. Raising your hands up, raising your hands down, lowering it down, all that is under your control. Voluntarily you can do. With me. But there are certain things which are involuntary. But through the practice of yoga, even those that are involuntary can be brought under your control. Go to verse number 6, chapter 4. Read the translation. Verse number 6, chapter 4. Where he starts talking about avatar. Where he starts talking about a Mahatma. Read just the translation. Don't read the Sanskrit word. verse 6, chapter 4.
Though unborn of the unborn of imperishable nature and Lord.
Read it loudly.
Though unborn of imperishable nature and Lord of being, presiding over my own prakriti, I am born by my own Maya.
Presiding over by my own prakriti. The ignorant man is under the sway of his prakriti. Remember this. Ignorant man is under the sway of his prakriti, whereas a knowledgeable man is influencing his prakriti. He controls his
prakriti.
My own Maya. Mama Maya. Meaning, I manifest consciously. Ignorant man is manifesting unconscious. Right. Anyway, so what I am trying to tell you, why I am connecting this verse to that here, everything is connected that way. It's a thought flow. In fact, as I said before, whatever the Lord wanted to say, He is finished saying in the second chapter. He is only elaborating it. Thanks to Arjuna, that we are getting benefited. Right? Then again He is going to summarize in the 18th chapter. So now He is saying, unattached to external contact. Unattached to external contact means you with your awareness contact. You with your awareness contact. Attached means what? Awareness is not there. Similar again, Vasana has met with it, you are dragged. Before you realize, you are in it. First sip of alcohol. Before that you say, I'm not going to have more than a glass. You understand? Till then you are there. First sip hone ke baad, you say that I have only one glass. Then that one glass has many glasses. You understand? It's a fact. I had only one gulab jamun, but that one gulab jamun had many gulab jamun. Isn't that what happens in life? Always we are so clear before we contact, but the moment we contact, what happens?
We are dragged.
So we are present up to a point. After that we are not present. If you are present throughout the contact, then the impressions will not be formed. Please understand. Vedanta is not asking you to stop your contact. Vedanta is asking you to develop yourself in such a way that you can be present in the contact. When you are present in the contact, then you go beyond the contact and come to the happiness that is the self. The way to cross anything is to face it, not to fight it, not to run away from it. So unattached to external contact, one finds happiness that is in the self. So we cannot find the happiness in the self if we do not cross over the what? External temptations. So what lot of people think is, some people think they will be able to find the happiness within by suppressing the senses. They have also got settled at the level of senses only. Others, they think they will cross over the senses by indulging in the senses. By indulging in the senses, temporarily there will come a time when you do not want to contact senses. But again the vasanas are there, you will get that. Some people think by overfeeding themselves, they will rise above the desire to contact the world. Temporarily maybe. But again the vasanas will come back. So you need not, you can't in fact give up the world. You need to be in the world. You need to prepare yourself in such a way that you will contact the world, external world, without any attachment, without any prejudice. You don't bind yourself to the sukha, nor do you bind yourself to the dukkha, raga or dvesha. Neither do you run away, nor do you run after. You contact with awareness. Then what happens? Then you rise above that. Then you find the happiness that is in the self. If you don't contact the world, you become lonely. If you contact the world, you get carried away. The choice seems to be almost between the devil and the deep sea. What do I do? So Vedanta says, you have to come to aloneness. You should grow out of loneliness. Neither should you get carried away. You have to come to aloneness. How can you do that? By remaining without bias, contacting the world, then you understand, oh, only this much? That is all. No exaggerated value created in your mind. Then your mind is able to be alone with the self. Uniting oneself to Brahman by yoga, one attains that eternal bliss. The bliss is always there, but you have not been experiencing it. This is not that you have attained something which you have not been having it. It is eternal. The bliss is always there. And once having reached that state, you won't lose it. Today, all the sukha that comes from the experiences of the external world are interrupted ananda. They are not uninterrupted ananda. Are you with me? So now you will get that eternal bliss. And for that, you have to remain unattached. And attachment towards the lower will fall only with attachment towards higher. Unless you keep your right foot firmly on the upper rung of the ladder, you can't remove your left foot from the lower rung. If you do, you will fall down. So you got to get attached to the higher. How do I develop? Like Manjari ji said, it is very difficult. Yes, it is very difficult with weekly study. It is little bit easier with the daily study. Very, very easy with the daily manan and nididhyasa. So Gita study is not a part-time hobby. Once you really understand the value of this, what you do is you program your other programs in line with your Gita study. Remember this. It is not that whenever you get time, you study Gita. That is how it happens in the beginning. Let it happen like that in the beginning. Are you with me? I have my other schedules. That is important for me. But then whenever I have time, I will do this. This is better than not studying at all. Initially it will start like that. But if you want to really go and benefit, then all your other schedules will start revolving around. You will not, for example, I told you, I mentioned this time and again, morning time, early morning time is your time. Right? Whatever you have to do for your body, mind, intellect, do it in the early morning. Between 4 to 8 or 6 to 8, whatever it might be. That time, little bit of jnana, reflection for your intellect, your mind. Then your physical exercises, yoga, pranayama, walking, everything should have been done. Morning time, don't go to anybody. Are you with me? Other schedules should revolve around that. It's not that you do other things, and if you have time, you will go for a walk. If you have time, you will do yoga. If you have time, you will do study. No. Would you do that like that for the eating? Obviously not. You don't. There are people who do that. Workaholics. You understand? They don't realize that they're burning the candle from both sides. So then unattached to external contact. So if you want to become unattached to external contact, you must develop attachment to the study, attachment that also to be detached. Then the Atma Buddha Adi Shankara uses this example of katakan and powder to cleanse the impurities in the water. They use this katakan and powder. What is it called?
Fitkari.
Whatever that is. They use that. They put the powder, katakan and powder, on top of the water surface in the vessel. What does it do? It forms a film. Then it gathers weight and starts settling down. As it settles down, it collects other dirt and settles down. Similarly, attachment to scripture will slowly make you detach from your contact. Meaning, witnessing you will be while you contact. You will be a witness while you contact. To be able to move from perception to perception. But slowly, the study of Gita, if you do it properly, with self-inquiry, then slowly the attachment to study also, that is final. Don't start with that speed. Right? So unattached to external contact, one finds the happiness that is in the self. If you have to go inside and get the honey from the honeycomb, you have to deal with the bees. Similarly, the sugam that is within you, if you have to dive deep and get it, you have to now deal with the senses and the vasanas. You can't suppress them. If you suppress them, you can't get it. So how do you deal with them? If you go against them, you are going to increase it. If you go after them, you are going to increase it. So what do? You contact, but be unattached. Then what Vedas say, whether they are saying right or wrong, you yourself will come to know. When you understand, acha, only this much it is wrong. For this unnecessarily I have been having so much of exaggerated value. Black market value. See, the problem is we don't study this. We don't get close. The moment you get close, you know there is nothing in it. See, for example, the skin. Today, what a smooth skin. But when a microbiologist views the skin with a microscope, the same smooth skin, he's seeing what? He's seeing lots of germs, filth there. You mean, this is what Pachamavindam says, Adi Shankara says, if we don't go get close, you see, this is the problem. From distance everything looks nice. You get close, you know, this is nothing. From distance it's a rainbow. Get close. What is this here? For this I've been wasting my time. While quoting courtship, you understand? I have married because you got close. Courtship, very nice. Once you get married, got close. So in other words, this scrutiny, what you're going to say, Nari Stanabara Nabi Deham Vishwa Maha Moha Vesha Vetan Mamsavi Sadhivi Arun Manasivi Chintaya Varun Va Adi Shankara. Right? You are getting deluded seeing the external contours of the opposite sex. But if you stand apart and analyze, they are also nothing but modification of flesh and bone. You understand? They are also nothing but modification of flesh and bone.
Yetam mamsavi sadivikaram manasivi chintaya varam va.
Reflect on this daily, every day, every minute. That self-inquiry we don't do. Once you do that, then the detachment comes. Attachment does not come simply chanting Bhagavad Gita every day or been studying Gita every day, nothing has happened. When you do reflection, then detachment comes. What is that detachment? Understanding things as they are. Detachment is not running away from things. Detachment is understanding things as they are. Like Swami Ramakrishna beautifully puts it, he says, iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. In other words, money means options. What option? Option to study Bhagavad Gita in a heated room like this during winter, or in a room which is not heated. Cry in Delhi or book a room yourself in a most expensive spa and cry there. Money gives you that option. So therefore, in the worldly sense, for the reasons that options are required, you deal with it. You don't run away from it. You don't say, I want such money. That is me. That is not detachment. Detachment means understanding iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. So unattached to external contact. In other words, thereafter, you don't contact the world for happiness. Today, for you, world means what? I should not miss it. Oh, you went to Switzerland and you didn't see this? Oh, my God. My God. You understand? I missed it. Like that we feel, right? That delusion. Oh, you've been living in Delhi and you've not been to this place. You've not been to Niagara. My God. You understand? So, in other words, you believe that there is sukham in the external world. As long as you continue to believe there is sukham in the external world, you will not have the opportunity to experience the joy in it. That delusion that sukham outside is there needs to go. Otherwise, why would you turn? Are you with me? Why would you turn this side? You haven't got the sukham, but you believe sukham is coming. Rasta naya. I'm getting it. You're running. Right? All the Vedanta says is, stop this rat race. Start getting closer. How do you do that? You don't have to start a new contact. The already experienced contact analyze. When you analyze, he says in the next verse, what he says we'll see. Yehi samsparsha ja bhogaha, yehi samsparsha ja bhogaha, dukkayonaya evate, dukkayonaya evate, adyantavantakkaunteya, nateshuramate buddha, yehi samsparsha ja bhogaha, dukkayonaya evate, adyantavantakkaunteya, nateshuramate buddha. So when you get closer, it is the enjoyments that are born of contact are only wounds of sorrow. When you get closer, what do you understand? For the enjoyments that are born out of contact, yehi samsparsha ja bhoga. Sparsha means
contact.
This enjoyment that you get out of contact with the world are only dukkha yonayaha. Dukkha means sorrow. Yoni means womb. Dukkha yonayaha means wombs of sorrow. They have a beginning and an end. Adi anta anta anta. Adyanta anta anta. Adi means beginning. Anta means end. O Kaunteya, O Kunti Putra, O Arjuna, there is a beginning and an end to all these experiences. Three types of pain that one experiences. What are they? The pain to get to a status. Then the pain to retain the status. Then the pain when you lose the status. Somebody told me, while I used to lecture in Middle East, those days, somebody said there was an article in Kalistan's newspaper there, where somebody had interviewed Bill Clinton, ex-president of America. Bill Clinton, he was interviewed. What do you think is the most terrifying thing? Something like that, the question was asked. Not asked, saying the exact question, but something to that effect. I believe he answered, the thought of being the ex-president of America. He still has 6 more months when that question was asked to him. Somebody told me this. It is a fact, isn't it? To get, there is so much of pain. And to retain it, tremendous pain. And then when you lose it, the pain is what? Inexplicable. Right? When a person, you know, I've interacted with many people who have been in the best of positions in the government. They tell, sometimes, you know, after they have retired, I don't want to quote the name of the person who told me this. One of the real top guy in Indian government, he told me, he said, after I retire, if I fall for something, even the clerk who works at me will not lift the phone. So I am not respected, the chair,
the power.
And he fortunately has the wisdom. He has some Vedanta in him. So he was not attached to it. So he said, I have nothing to do with this. When I go, I go. Like it is talked about Lord Krishna. When he left Vrindavan, he left. He is not with that. But our problem is, we will be keeping them in the mind. So he said, for the enjoyments that are born of contact are only wombs of sorrow. Now you say, hey, the wombs of sorrow, all these are people who have lost the capacity to enjoy it all. No. While you have the capacity to enjoy, you scrutinize. Like in one context from Vivekananda says, what is ahimsa? If Mike Tyson caught me for a fight, I say, I am practicing ahimsa. Does it make any sense? I have no chance. One single punch, I will be gone. I will be in coma stage. You understand? But I will say, I am practicing ahimsa. Does it make any sense? I should have the capacity to retaliate, yet I restrain myself. Then I am practicing ahimsa. So I should have the capacity to contact. My senses must have the capacity to contact. And yet, I am not biased. I have not lost myself. I am still present during the contact. Then I get close and watchfully contact. When I watchfully contact, then I understand that the enjoyments are appearance enjoyment. Upon close scrutiny, they are not there only, they are all nothing but dukkha, but have been shining when I looked at it from this place. So many people in the world were attracted when the finance companies were promising them, if you invest with us, you will get 12% plus 3% plus 1% plus one house somewhere, something like that. Everybody went. Then what they got? Finally they say, immediately you will get one gold coin. Finally they got only one gold coin after investing 10 lakhs of rupees. You understand? When you get closer, you realize. Upon distance, moha. Get close, you get a closer picture. No one dares to get a closer picture because nobody has time. What amount of dukkha, you have no idea. No, you just get it. Because then to maintain it, to retain it, then not to lose it. Such a pain. People go on buying lands. And then they suddenly realize somebody has overtaken it. Now you have to fight it to get it back. You know, so many examples. At the physical level, at the emotional level, at the intellectual level, at all levels, the joy that appears to be when you get close, you understand it is nothing but sorrow. You see, so it is the enjoyments that are born of contacts are only wounds of sorrow. They have a beginning and an end. Kaunteya, O Buddhi Putra, O Arjuna. Kaunteya is a very interesting choice of word here. Because he was born into this world through Buddhi. Right? And this life as Kaunteya will also come to an end. This war that began also will come to an end. Everything that started must come to an end. The wise one does not rejoice in death. Wise one does not rejoice in them, does not mean they don't contact. Since you are in the world, your senses will have to contact the world. But you will contact with objectivity, not with delusion. But as though there is something. So in other words, all that he is saying is, be present in your contact. When you are present in the contact, then you realize that actually there is no joy in the outside world. And once your thoughts stop going towards the world, then thoughts, meaning the mind's nature is to flow, it starts flowing within you. One flow is horizontal, other flow is internal, vertical. Mind is nothing but flow of thoughts. Right? Mind will today flow towards the world. It's extroverted. Constantly flowing towards the world. So what do you have to do? You have to make it go towards the self. And for that, you must make the mind understand the futility of the world. When you understand the futility of the external pursuits as an end in itself, that's qualified with that sentence. Vedanta is not saying don't contact the external world. But if you contact the external world for happiness, then you will be deceived. If you become dependent on the external world for happiness, you will be deceived. If you keep your dependence on anything other than Atma, you will be deceived. You find out. You depend upon anything. Why you will be deceived?
Changing.
Exactly. Because everything is of changing nature. This glass, when you see, as you are seeing, it is changing. Do you realize that? You don't. See the power of fire. You are seeing the glass, but the glass is changing. As you are seeing, it is changing. Do you realize that? Not only as you are seeing the glass is changing, the seer you is also changing. I'm having little water from this glass now. When this water has gone into me, there is a change happening. The person who says the sentence, I'm going to have little water, is different from the person who is talking now, after drinking the water. Change is happening. By the time you point out now, it has become then. Are you seeing? So if you place all your bets on the external world, you are for sure going to be deceived. Because it is of changing nature. You are conscious of this changing aspect of the world because of the presence of a changeless consciousness within you. So he says, the enjoyments that are born of contacts are only wounds of sorrow. They have a beginning and then. In fact, the joy that you got apparently in the beginning is also not the joy that was actually brought out from the object. It was nothing but the reflection of your Atma. This is the difficulty. I have explained this many times. It is very difficult for us to remember why we are living. There is a your mind, assuming that it is calm now, quiet and calm. In that calm, quiet mind, thought for an object comes. Then the thought for that object starts coming more forcefully. Mango, 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 and then it comes. Then now what has happened? The mind which was calm got disturbed. Read me. Now, without mango, you are unhappy. That is desire. Desire for a mango. Now you eat the mango. Your mind is saying, mango has some joy. I must get that mango. And you get the best of mangoes. And you taste it. You do get some joy. What you are breathing is, the joy has come from? From mango. Right. What actually happened technically is, that desire for mango created agitation. The contact with mango removed the agitation. The ananda, the peace that you already had, temporarily comes to surface. Mango did not bring joy. There are certain qualities in the mango. That very same mango, when your mind changes, you don't enjoy. When the daughter is born, you are so happy. I'm talking about certain things that happen in certain parts of India. When the same daughter, when she grows, and says, I've fallen in love with somebody from a different caste. What do you do?
I
Not only you don't wish you had no daughter, yes, but you go to the extent of killing also. There are, you know, people who do that. Are you mean? So your mind has changed, the object has changed, or both can change. That is how flimsy your contacts are. And also the temporary joy that you apparently get. Firstly, he says, okay, if at all there is joy, it is there only in the beginning. This is like, you know, when you argue, when there is not arguing, there is a discussion. One technique that we use is agree to disagree. I accept you have a point, but think about it. The moment you say, I accept you have a point, then you give exactly opposite viewpoint, you are able to buy that fellow's time to listen to you. Straight away you say you are wrong. Is that you get lost, you are wrong. Have you seen? He becomes close-minded. So first you say, I accept you have a point. I see some intelligence in what you say. I think you are right. But consider this. The moment you do that, immediately the fellow is quiet and he listens. Similarly like that, when Krishna says, they have a beginning, meaning in the beginning there is joy. Actually he is going to say there is no joy. That joy it appears to be giving is also not coming from the object. It is a reflection of your atma. This is very difficult to understand. The agitation caused by the desire for the object is removed by the contact. And once the agitation is removed, the sukha that is always there within you temporarily surfaces. But you don't allow it to long last. Why? Another desire has come. Maybe for another mango or for something else. So you are duping yourself, believing that the joy is coming from the mango, the joy is coming from the children, joy is coming from the husband, from the wife, from the business, from this, from that. But actually it is not coming from anywhere. Like when you have lost yourself in a desert, you see there is mirage, water. You actually think it is water. When you get closer and closer and closer, what do you see?
Sand.
There is no water. There is only sand. And you run and run and run. Then what happens? You get tired. You become so thirsty, you perish. So Vedanta says, this is what is happening to you. Your senses are duping you. Your mind is duping you. What do you have to do? You have to pause, ponder and plunge. 3 P. The 3 P's are pause. Don't rush. Ponder. Scrutinize. Then plunge. Then understanding what the objects exactly are. Then you will be influencing them and not be influenced by them. How to become a master? Not a slave. So Vedanta does not teach you to escape, but Vedanta teaches you to be a master. When you have the potential to be a master, when you are enslaved by them, Vedanta says you are a fool. When somebody who has the potential to score a century gets out playing a rash shot, he says, what a fool. The talent batsman who has no potential even to score 10 runs, when he gets out after scoring 15 runs, he says, excellent. But this guy who has a potential to score a century gets out playing a very rash shot, all the more when he is in 90s. So what a fool. Are you with me? So 1 second of your losing awareness, you created this samsara. So he says, while you contact, beware. get close, scrutinize, then you will see not only the joy you thought in the beginning is only in the beginning, but actually it is not there only. It is not joy. The sorrow was appearing in the form of joy. This is where people find difficult. It is sorrow, but appearing in the form of joy. The rose flower grows in a plant which has thorns. You mean? Similarly, all your sense contacts have an end. They appear to be joy in the beginning, but the joy also really comes from your action. Temporarily, when the agitations dissolve, Atma reflects how much more joy you can get when you can permanently get rid of the agitation. In a pool which has so much of dirt, sunlight does not reflect. All you need to do is remove the dirt. When you have cleansed the pond, what do you see? Beautiful reflection of sun. So all that Vedanta says is, remove the dirt from within. On the contrary, you are collecting more and more dirt. Those who run after, collect dirt. Collecting more dirt. Similarly, those who run away, they are also collecting more dirt. But a person who stands, be present while contacting, that person quietens the mind. When he quietens the mind, he gets the calmness around. Clearly, he puts it here. So, as though he agrees there is joy in the beginning, finally he demolishes that argument and says, there is actually no joy. If at all there is joy, it is only from within. The joy that you experience from outside was actually shoka, appearing to be joy. Now, first of all, if joy appeared as joy and shoka appeared as shoka, no problem. You don't need Vedanta. Do you? In the 18th chapter, he's going to say, something. Happiness is that which begins as poison, ends up as nectar. Rajasic happiness is that which begins as nectar, ends as poison. Are you with me? Now, this is the problem. The contact coming to Bhagavad Gita class is not sukham in the beginning. It is painful, but over a period of time it becomes pleasure once the Gita knowledge goes in. But remember, anything work in the world starts painful. For example, exercising, especially in this winter, painful, right? Getting out of your bed, painful. Going up to the college, staying in the canteen is pleasurable with your friends. Going to the class, listening to what the teacher has to say, understanding it, reading it, all that is difficulty. But those people who went through that difficulty, they are later on enjoying. Those people who stayed in the canteen finds job only in the canteen. Isn't it? Remember this. Sukham, what appears as sukham is dukkham. So from this, what do we understand? Then if we follow dukkham, we can get to sukham. What is that dukkham? What is sukham? Following the external world is sukham for us. By that, we are going to attain dukkham. What is dukkham for us now? Regulated life. Are you with me? But if I follow regulated life, I can attain sukham. Shakespeare says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Beautiful piece of advice. In Polonius' advice to Laertes in the play Hamlet. Polonius is the minister of Denmark. His son Laertes is going to France for higher studies. So he gives the piece of advice. And one of the things he tells his son is, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. Right? Borrowing is pleasurable in the beginning. Right? So with entire America, they say the real estate market, because about 20% only they have to pay, 80% they can pay over a period of time, borrow. Kept on borrowing. Right? Then when the real estate price was so down and the money was available easily low, they bought second houses. You understand? The price was going higher and higher, so they thought they could make money. Suddenly when it crashed, they lost everything. Adyanta Vanta Kaunteya. Borrowing is sukam in the beginning, ends up as pain. But if a person runs his business purely on the ethics, it is difficult. He is not going to become millionaire overnight. There are others probably became millionaires overnight. But his business has strong foundation. Are you with me? So what happens over a period of time, that business survives, not only survives, gains momentum. But the other businesses, you find so many businesses that came recently, the sooner they, well, they came to record height, they lost. Always remember in life also, what your parents achieved after so much of struggle, say for example, from the gross level I'm saying, a car. You know, you won't ask your grandfather or great grandfather who started this business empire, he will say, he struggled, after all that, he got that motorcycle. Probably he got that motorcycle when he was 30. But now, people want to get that when they are 15. Believe me. If you have to struggle, better to struggle when you are young. So that your old age is job. But if you indulge in your young age, then old age you will struggle. So it is all the enjoyments that are born of sense contact in job. What we need to do is we need to reflect on this verse with reference to our experiences till date. We don't have to go through new experiences. Right? So, Vedanta tells you to reflect with reference to your experience. Reflection means reflecting the knowledge with reference to your experience. What is my experience? I got into this expecting that I will get job. I did not get it. What did I do? Continue. What am I doing now? Still continuing. Have I got it? The moment I understand that, then my thought starts going towards the Atma. Then the Sukham, which is always there, I get. Then I wonder suddenly, when I have been having this sukham all along within me, how come I ran after this? This is what all the jnanis they say. It's a pity. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैवा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावा करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।